Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, on today's show, we're going to be talking to Cindy. She is an estranged mom as well, so let's get to it. Hi, Cindy. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a little rainy here in Florida. We're in the Tampa Bay area, and we've had that storm come through, but it wasn't a big deal. So
we have incredible weather up here in New England.
It's
just, you know, I'm kind of thinking we slept through winter.
I appreciate you coming on today. I know that I know sometimes it's not the easiest thing to talk about, but I do, like I've said in the past, I just think that having more voices to this thing that we're all going through really resonates and helps with some other people. So I appreciate it.
I'm glad you're having me on. When I found you, I was very happy but sad at the same time to hear people talking about it. You know, I think I told you before I did a few blogs, and you know, it was okay for a while, and then it just wasn't helping me in any way. So and then I found your podcast, and I said, oh my God, and to hear people say it in their own words, in their own voice,
right,
makes a big difference, you know, of what's going on with them, and a lot of very similarities, lots of similarities. It's hard to talk to people who don't know anything about it, they understand it, you know, and it's, you almost feel like they're thinking, you know, what did you do?
Exactly. Exactly. You sure are. I mean, I know I did.
Yeah. And people have said it out loud too. It's like,
Right. Well, why don't we start with you just telling us a little bit about you, about Cindy, and then we can get into all of the other stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm just turned into a senior citizen. and I live in New England. I have two grown daughters and four grandchildren that I know of, but I don't know their names.
Yeah.
I know that there are four of them. I live, you know, up here by myself with my dog, and it's really hard because basically what's happened to me in the past 5.5 years is 8 people have been taken out of my life.
Oh, goodness.
You know, assuming that I have at least 4 grandchildren, I know that.
Right.
You know, to me, it's like, what is going on here? You know, I never thought I would be in this situation, you know, being by myself, you know, not celebrating holidays with my family and just seeing them periodically through the year. It's just insane to me.
Yeah. And this time of the year is particularly tough.
Oh, God, this is the hardest time for me. and I'm sure everybody else, but...
Yeah.
I've been, like I said, 5.5 years now, and, you know, I tried celebrating with other families, different holidays, and I appreciated them inviting me, but it's just not the same, and I felt like I was bringing them down or feeling like they had to pay more attention to me because I was there by myself, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I've decided in the last couple of years that I'm just not going to put that myself through it or my friends through it, you know, and I try to explain that don't feel sorry for me. It's my choice. It's what I want to do.
Right. Well, in some ways it's probably easier for you because you don't have to feel the stuff watching them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, the, you know, making them feel like they have to, you know, wear kit gloves or whatever for you and disrupt their thing. Which I'm sure they didn't feel that way, but I understand why you would say that.
So. You know, I find myself pulling away when some of my friends get together and they do have their families and they do have their grandkids. And I know that they hesitate to talk about it when I'm around.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. You know, I want them all to be able to be open with everybody and talk about their happiness and everything, you know.
Right.
But I know that I'm that person that I can't contribute, you know. I can't contribute to it. And I, you know, I'm happy for them, but I can't contribute.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because, I mean, it's difficult on us as the parents. And I'd like to think, even though maybe I'm naive sometimes, although someone has told me, so I like to think that the kids at least think about it, you know. Mm-hmm. I kind of have to think that way.
Yeah.
So,
I imagine that they don't. I mean, you know, I know my kids love me. I know they do. They just don't know how to handle this. I really believe that. And it's taken me a long time to get to that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've gone through all the grieving and have decided through different kind of therapies and stuff that I don't think they know how to come back.
Yeah.
So.
Well, do you want to tell us what your experience has been like? I mean, how you think this happened or?
Well, I think through the years, I was married for 23 years.
Okay.
And it was, you know, a pretty, you know, whatever you, however you want to call it, you know, it wasn't a mean divorce, put it that way, where we used a mediator, we, rented an apartment and the parent moved to the apartment on a weekly basis back and forth. So the kids didn't have to leave the house and their bedrooms and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
So we did that thinking that's the best way to do it for two teenage girls, you know, and, you know, things started feeling a little bit weird when, my ex started dating, the now wife that he's got.
Yeah.
And, I thought, for a while, my youngest didn't really like her. She wouldn't go home and stay at the house if she was there and that kind of stuff. But through a little bit of time, I guess she got used to her. And I was happy that they liked each other. You know, my kids right. liked her and she liked them. And, you know, the kids would tell me, you know, things that they did and blah, blah, blah. So it just turned out, for me, I was glad that my kids at least liked his new girlfriend, then wife, you know?
Right.
Only to find out that she has been manipulating them as a child psychologist away from me for years. And I didn't see it coming. I just didn't see it coming. I just thought, you know, my ex lives in Vermont and he takes them skiing and he does all this stuff with them, you know, so they would go there on holidays. And I thought, you know, great. They get to have a nice school break, you know, going skiing in Vermont. And
right.
And, you know, you can see me anytime, you know, between New Year's and Christmas, if you want, you know, whatever you guys want to do. I didn't want to pressure them.
Sure. Into
thinking they have to come over on that day, you know, the day of every holiday to see me too, you know?
Right.
So I just thought that that was a good way of doing it. And through my own therapy, it was told to me that they might have thought that I didn't care.
Yeah.
I didn't care, you know, when I saw him. And that wasn't true at all. I was just trying to be flexible and easy to, you know, make it easy on them because they had fiancés, families to visit, you know, so many people that I just said, I didn't want to be a hard ass and say, you know, no, I got to see you on Thanksgiving, on Christmas,
right,
you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's, I guess, how it started when I started noticing that they were spending all their holidays with them. And so one, it was around Mother's Day 5.5 years ago. I went over to pick up my bicycle that was being stored in my daughter's garage. And I went and got it and put it near my car. And I went in the back and my daughter handed me my first grandchild. This is going to be hard.
It's okay.
And said to me, you've got 2 hours. Oh. And she just handed them to me. And I just looked at her. I said, okay, you know, I didn't even think, you know, 2 hours, right, you know, that I'll never see him again. And I said, okay, you know, so we went and played and we ate lunch and we did all this stuff. And then she came out to get us and said they had to go to the hardware store. And I haven't seen them again.
Oh, ever. My goodness.
I haven't heard from them ever again.
And that was how long ago?
5.5 years ago.
Wow.
And my youngest daughter followed her, and she explained to me why, that she didn't want to lose her sister. She wanted their kids to grow up together. If she was in contact with me, my other daughter wouldn't, you know, be in contact with her. And I just, you know, spent a lot of years begging them, you know, just doing whatever I could think of to tell me why, you know, what's going on, you know, let's talk.
Right.
Nothing. No, you know, they blocked me from everything. I ran into a couple of people that they know and asked, you know, which I don't want to put people in the middle of it, but this is in the beginning of when all this happened.
Right.
Them to ask them to contact me, you know, and I need to know why. So it's just been constant for all these years that I don't know why, and they've never told me, never contacted me or anything.
That's, you know, in my view, that's probably the most difficult thing. I spoke to I don't know if you heard this one yet or not, but I spoke to an estranged child the other day. I did an interview with him. And it just dropped on Tuesday. And but he did. He did tell, you know, explain to them. He did at least communicate. But it was, that's the part I just don't understand is, and that's what happened to me. Just boom. I mean, we had a little tiff, but it was nothing that should have caused that. And then it was just boom, you're done. So that was definitely, I don't know what's worse, if it's knowing or not knowing, but I have to think that it's not knowing.
That's all I know. So I think for me, it's really hard. And, you know, I just don't know why it happened that day as well. You know, she knew I was coming to get my bike. I texted her right before I got there to say, you know, I'm in the driveway. I'm going to go in and get my bike. And she didn't answer me. So I'm like, so that's why I heard him in the backyard. So we went in the back. Yeah. And she literally just had this look on her face that I'd never seen before, you know. And she was probably very nervous because she knew what she was about to do.
Right.
And that was it. She just handed him to me.
She obviously gave some sort of thought to it. So why, you know, it was planned, so why could it not be told? I mean, it's unfortunate for them, for the grands.
Yeah. No, I can say we never had any big fights or anything.
Yeah.
We never there was never any warning of it at all. You know, like, you know, if you don't cut that out, I'm going to do this to you and you're never going to see my kid. Right. Or that kind of, none of that ever happened. Not once. And that's why I was blindsided by it. And, you know, it took me a long time to figure out through my own therapy that the new wife manipulated them away from me.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And it took me a long time to accept it too.
Because you don't want to, you don't want to think that.
I didn't. Yeah. I couldn't imagine that they were that naive to not see what this woman was doing. But then I said to myself, I didn't see what was happening either. You know, I didn't read it either. And, you know, as for my ex-husband, who knows what's going on with him? You know, I don't have an explanation for why he let it happen, why he's continuing to let it happen and not, you know, help me and my kids, our kids, get back into the relationship. You know, it's crazy. In the beginning, I was happy they were all liked each other, and I didn't even feel that there was any animosity against me as the wife. You know, it's not like we all got together and did stuff, but there was never anything that made me think they don't want me in their lives, any of them, you know? So that's the short version.
Well, so you touched on therapy. Did you just start therapy after this, or had you had therapy before that?
Well, through the years, since I was a teenager, I periodically, you know, went to a therapist for different reasons. I had a kind of a crazy childhood where we moved around a lot, and, you know, I was always lost, you know. I didn't know, and I didn't know where I was. I mean, I still think to myself, I should get hypnotized so I'll know where I was when this happened to me when I was a kid.
Right.
What town did I live in, you know?
Yeah.
Now, that's the thing about talking about this is, you know, things pop up and you go, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe. But so when I finally, you know, grew up, I from Kentucky moved to Massachusetts, where my mother's family is here. When I was 18, I moved in with my aunt and I met my then, you know, boyfriend. Then I married him. I was married for 23 years. And one of my things was, if we're going to have kids, we're going to stay put. You know, I'm not going to put them through what I went through.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He grew up in the same town, same school system, same friends, all of his childhood and, you know, into college and everything.
Yeah.
And so we did. We bought a house in a little town in Massachusetts and raised them in the same house the whole time. You know, and I say that just because I feel like I was trying to do the right thing. And, you know, we were successful. They were successful kids. They were sport kids. They, you know, they have master's degrees now and houses and husbands and kids. And I think, so where did I go wrong? You know, right. what the hell is so wrong that you don't want me in your life? You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm proud of the way they turned out.
They're
very smart girls. And I'm proud that I was able to raise them the way they, you know, the way I should have been raised in my family, you know, not moving around every 2 years and being the new kid all the time and just struggling to make enough credits to get out of school, you know?
Right.
Because every school system is different. You know, I mean, it was a nightmare, especially high school. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess that's where I'll stop on that one. You know, I don't want to say that everything was perfect because, you know, what raising kids is perfect, but, you know,
no.
There was no alcoholism, no abuse, you know, none of that. No abuse, no, you know, we were really, together in the way we raise the kids.
Yeah.
You know, as a married couple. Yeah.
Yeah.
We kept the house too when we got divorced.
Yeah.
you know, we kept the house so that, again, they'd have a place to come home to. Right. And then when the last one finished college, he sold the house and, you know, started doing what he's doing now. And so,
right.
Yeah, I wish I could say that I had a sit down, you know, heart to heart conversation with him about this before it happened, but we didn't.
Right.
It just.
So is your extended family, how do they handle any brothers? Do you have brothers, sisters?
Well, you know, it's not a foreign thing in my family to estrange.
Yeah.
And their father's family as well. But my older brother, I have two brothers and a sister. My older brother passed away.
Okay.
My parents are gone. And I have a sister who she pretty much estranged herself from all of us years and years ago, and the whole extended family, everybody.
Yeah.
So I don't know how she is or what she's doing or anything.
Yeah.
But it was pretty toxic relationship with her in our family for a long time, even as from teenager up, you know.
Right, right.
And then I have a brother down the Cape. He lives on the Cape, and I'm in touch with him.
Gotcha.
You know, well, I have an extended family, my mother's family, and they're all getting up there in their ages, and all their kids moved. You know, most of them don't even live around here anymore, my cousins. So basically, to answer your question, I really don't have family around here that I see. I just don't. Okay. They're just not here, you know.
Are they aware, the ones that you do speak to, are they aware of the kids' situation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, a few of them have tried to contact the kids, you know, and, you know, especially in the beginning of it, I would ask people to, you know, go on Facebook and Instagram and see if they can see the kids. And if you can, you know, send them a message, you know, please call your mother.
Yeah.
And then once they did that, my kids would block them. So basically everybody that I know that knows me is blocked.
Yeah. If they're still friendly with you, they're on that list.
Yeah. Yeah. If they see any sort of, you know, communication with me on social media somehow, they block them.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know
this
why.
This doesn't. You know? This doesn't make sense, you know. I mean,
yeah. For a while there, a lot of my friends—not a lot, but a handful of my friends would. That's how I found out I have grandchildren. Mm. You know, more than I thought I had, as they would see a picture on Facebook, you know, announcing their new baby or whatever, and they'd send me a picture out of the blue.
Ugh.
And you know, it's just really disappointing. To know that nobody even told me, you know, that the kids didn't even tell me.
Right. And
to see my family growing up on social media, I just asked everybody who was doing it, stop, don't send me anymore. I can't watch my family grow up on social media and never see them. You know, I don't want that, you know.
I don't blame you. That's.
I do and I don't, you know.
Right, right. I mean, you want to know they're okay and you want to know they're about them, but
yeah,
certainly not that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know in the group that I am a part of, you know, some parents will come in talking about that sometimes. Should I they haven't blocked me yet. Should I keep doing this or should I not? And I'm like, it's so tough because you want to know.
Yeah.
But then along with that knowing comes the pain of really not knowing much. So,
yeah. I mean, for me, when I'm on Facebook or something and I put something out there that I want my kids to possibly see someday, I put it to the public.
Yeah.
Just because I want them to see it someday, whether I'm still around or not, you know, if they're ever curious about what my, you know, Facebook and I don't think I'm on Instagram, but Facebook, I don't know why I do it, but I just, there's certain things that I want to put out there, and I want them to know that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And it's not always about them in particular. It's just
right.
Something about their mother, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. I did the same things, you know, sometimes I didn't do them in nice ways, but sometimes I just put things out there just like you said, so that they were out there.
Yeah, right.
Do you get many people like that, like if your friends or anything? Well, probably not so much now. It's been a while, but in the beginning, mm-hmm. that would ask you, and how that kind of went.
Yeah, they always ask me, you know, and it's from the heart, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a death, you know. You don't know what to say. They don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. You know, all I can say is I haven't heard from them. I don't know. You know.
Yeah.
And these are, you know, I have a.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants—they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Small group of friends, so the same group of friends that would see pictures of my kids on in the beginning and then share them with me.
Right.
It's just really hard, you know.
Yeah, it is.
So I don't talk about it that much anymore, you know. It's been a long time.
Yeah, you know? It's hard to talk about it. It is.
And
so hard.
You meet somebody new, like I just started a new job, and of course they're asking me, you know, how many kids, blah, blah, blah. And I say, yeah, I do, you know, and I just, as light as possible.
Right.
That's too long. They have families, you know. I don't get to see them that much because, you know, they're working full time and the kids are in school. And blah blah blah. You know.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but you know, I'm not going to go through the "what was me" with new people at this point. You know.
Right. And once you open that floodgate, especially if you do get emotional, it's hard to shut it off.
Yeah, and then the rumor mill happens, and you know, if you work in a place with a bunch of people, and all people are saying or thinking. So
for sure,
I just decided when I retired from my full-time job during COVID and started doing part-time jobs that I wasn't going to share it, you know. I just said, I'm sure they're fine, you know, no news is good news, that kind
of thing. Do you do any kind of private journaling for yourself, or maybe for them to see one day, or just?
I don't.
Okay. I know some people have felt like that's helpful.
I think the thing for me is if they want to know about me, they'd be in my life.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
And you think, well, I got 4 grandkids. Would they give it to them if they found it in my apartment, you know, when they have to come and clean it out when I'm gone, you know? Who knows? I mean, I don't think so. If they don't want to know about me now, I'm certainly not going to share it in a journal for anybody to see, you know?
Yeah. Well, and sometimes it's just as much for you as anything.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily them, but. You know
just I have written things and kept them for a while and then threw them away.
Gotcha.
Threw them up and threw them away. You know, that was part of my, you know, a lot of therapists had me doing that through my life. And I've always torn it out of the book and thrown it away after a while.
Yeah. Well, some people do that. Some people, you know, some people keep them, some people bury them, some people burn them, you know.
Yeah. That's right.
So I do believe it's therapeutic. I have a hard time writing myself just because, you know, one, my handwriting is terrible. And then I go back and try to read it. I'm like, what did you write? What was that?
Are you want somebody else to read that later?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be able to. I'm like a doctor, only don't make the money.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But,
no joke for me.
How about physical issues? Have you ever had due to the emotional and the estrangement stuff? Have you had physical complications because of it?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I'm a really healthy person, but yeah. I have depression, you know, and off and on, I put myself on a medication, and it's always, I find, around this time of year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's getting darker, it's the holidays, it's, you know, all that. So
yeah,
that is a big one for me. I'm really active, so I'm lucky that I like to do active things.
Right.
I think that that helps, because if I just went to work and sat on my couch, I would go crazy. I know I would. I, you know, I'm very happy that during the beginning couple of years of all this, I was a big time cyclist and a yoga person.
Oh, cool.
And I did the yoga via Zoom all through COVID to get me through these god-awful long nights of just silence, you know?
Right.
So now I'm a dog walker. I walk dogs every single morning. So I average about 5 miles a day.
Cool.
And I open the door to somebody's house and their dog is standing there waiting for me, happy as a lark to see me.
Well, that's good.
We go for our half an hour walk, and I absolutely love it. It's the best thing I could have done for myself after I got away from my desk job, you know?
Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, I know with mine, I know you have a dog too, but I know with when I was going through my estrangement, the dogs helped.
Yeah.
Just because they love you. As long as you feed them and walk them and take care of them, they love you unconditionally. So
yeah.
I don't know. It would have been much more difficult. I know that.
Yeah.
Sure, so.
I had my cat in the beginning. He passed away this past summer after 20.
Oh, and goodness.
And he was my strength for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And then 3 weeks later, I adopted a dog. I couldn't stand not having an animal.
Understand that. Understand.
So, and I got this little dog that's just incredible. I can't believe I was so lucky to find him.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe he was looking for you.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's so, exactly what they say. Because he was in the adoption system for a year. Nobody adopted.
Wow. Aw.
And luckily in a no-kill shelter. So.
Thank goodness, yeah.
I really think they don't know what hit them in the way that they were being manipulated. And I'm going to use that word by...
Sure.
The new wife, and I think they were overwhelmed as well with, you know, getting their own families going, and you know, they were in college first when it first, you know, when we first got divorced and everything, just out of high school and into college.
Tough and, time for them.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I think. A lot of it is just overwhelmed and didn't know how to share. Didn't know how to share themselves, and I don't know. That's the only thing I can, you know, put my finger on is they were overwhelmed. They didn't know what to do, and on top of the manipulation, and you know, I would say to them, "Shit, I'd want to go to Vermont skiing too," you know,
right?
if I had a place to go.
I don't blame them for that much.
You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, not even ever thinking that they might think that I don't care. I don't
right.
give a damn or not, you know. And that really stuck with me, that this therapist said to me. And, you know, I'd learned a lot of other stuff from her, too. And I'm thinking, man, is she right? Could that possibly be? You know, because they never said that. The kids never said, well, you don't care, you know, whether you see me or not, you know.
Right.
Never. So, yeah,
well,
it's mind boggling. Well, my kids watched me, and was involved in it because they were there when this first happened is, I stopped talking to my mom for 2 years and, it happened. I stopped talking to her on Easter when it was really important that she not be drunk when I got there. And it was, you know, during the height of our, you know, just starting to be, you know, not happy with each other, as teenage mom and daughter.
Right.
Daughters.
Oh, I remember those.
And they both agreed to come with me. And I was like, yay, So I said to my mom, please don't, because she smoked, they're eating their Cheerios at the kitchen. And she drank, coffee all morning and then, wine all night, And so I begged her to, we'll come if you promise not to get drunk. And she promised. And I should have known better, but I didn't. So we get to her house and I look in her window before I knocked on the door, and she was blasted.
Oh.
She was just blotto. And she came to the door and started yelling at us because we were like 20 minutes late. And we were, but, we're 20 minutes late,
couple of kids in tow.
Yeah. So we got in the house, and my youngest realized, and she was probably, I'd say, maybe 16, maybe 17 at the time, she realized that grandma was, loaded.
Yeah.
And she led into her. My youngest just led into her grandmother and, just told her, I don't want a drunk grandma. I'm yelling at her. I don't want a drunk grandma.
Ooh.
I'm staying here. I don't want, house smells like cigarettes and, just threw it all up at her,
Yeah.
And
that didn't go well.
It didn't go well. Then they ran upstairs, the kids, and I got into a fight with my mom, and I told her, I can't do this. I'm trying to keep my family as close as I can, and I can't bring them here if you're going to do this still,
Right.
So we left, and I didn't talk to her for 2 years. I told her why. I told her why we were leaving, and I told her that, I'm not going to talk to you until I can – tell on the phone when we call that you are not drinking. And she did it herself. She cleaned up, and she, almost from that point on, she didn't drink anymore.
Wow. But
it took me 2 years to believe her.
I'm sure you've been burned a number of times.
Yeah. This was not the first time.
Right. So,
and, but then, we got back together as mother and daughter. I lived with her for 3 years when I got divorced, and she was, starting to, she wanted to sell her house, and we bought a condo together on the Cape. And so we became good adult women friends and mother and daughter living together for 3 years until she had to go into a senior spot.
Yeah.
But so my kids saw that and they knew what was going on, but to me, it was a good reason. I can't put myself through this anymore, and I'm certainly not going to put my kids through this anymore, because I don't want them to keep saying, I'm not going to grandma's, her house stinks, and she's drunk. Right. What's the point? Yeah, my kids saw my sister abusing me and my mother.
Right.
When I think about those kind of things, I can't imagine that's why. That would be the reason why, because they hadn't, they saw that when they were kids and teenagers, and
right.
This all happened when they were late 20s, 30, in their 30s, both of them.
Yeah.
But it took a long time.
Yeah.
I could feel the distance happening. Little by little by little, but never thought that it would be a complete alienation, estrangement. Never.
Yeah, why would you? Yeah, I would not have either.
Yeah.
Well, so let me ask this. And I always struggle with this when I ask people, but through this, have there been any positive things that have come out of this for you personally?
No. Honestly, no.
No, that's fine.
There's a lot of negatives. I can't get close to people. I don't trust people anymore.
Makes sense.
I got married a second time, which lasted less than a year.
Yeah.
And it just turned out, that marriage turned out to be his daughter was living out of state, and he let her move back home after we got married, and the whole thing was she was going to be living where she moved to, and you know, we were going to have a fresh start, just the two of us and all this stuff. So yeah. It didn't work out that way. And she did not like me.
Yeah. And,
she brought home her girlfriend, you know, now they're married and yeah. their dogs and all their stuff. And she carried around a picture of her dad and her mother who passed away around the house all the time. Pointing
at me. That's unique.
Yeah. And I'm like, I would tell her, I'm not trying to replace your mother. I mean, you know, I don't know why you think it's okay to, you know, harass me like this. It just turned out bad. And yeah. I just knew. And to this day, they still live there.
Wow.
And this was 10 years ago or more. So I did the right thing by not staying, because it would have been hell.
Yeah, I was going to say, good thing you got out when you did.
Yeah, I just knew it. I knew that once he let her back in, I was gone. I just couldn't. I knew. Yeah. I knew I was, you know, third fiddle or whatever, however you say it, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, if your girls were ever listening to this, is there anything that you haven't already said that you would want to say to them?
That I haven't already said.
Yeah.
You know,
or anything else.
Yeah, I would just say to them that I love them. I still love them. I still live in the same place that they know I live, and I still have the same contact information. Mm-hmm. And I know in my heart that you love me. Just please contact me in some way and let me know why.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the toughest part. Okay. Well, do you have, how about for other parents? Is there anything that you would, any advice you'd give, anything you'd recommend for them?
Well, it hasn't happened for me yet, but I think if my kids contacted me, I would tread very lightly, and be cautious for your own good.
Yeah.
Don't jump into it and think that everything's going to be roses if they call you and say, let's get together and talk. I would suggest to do it, and I know I would. I couldn't resist it.
Right.
I would have a real hard time trusting that they wouldn't do it to me again.
Yeah.
If we got into a relationship again.
Yeah, so it does happen.
I guess my advice for anybody and me is, you know, don't jump into it. Give it time.
Okay. You know, okay. Yeah, because like I said, it does happen. I've just talked to another friend recently that it happened to again. So,
yeah.
You know, it's tough. It's almost hard. I don't know, almost harder the second time around. So I would think.
Yeah. I feel bad saying that, but it's true. I've come to that, you know, pretty recently. You know, if I saw him in a store, I'd probably faint, first of all. And I think,
right.
God, you know, if I see him in a store, you know, and I on purpose stay away from the areas that they live, because I would be, I don't know what I would do if I ran into them. You know?
Right.
But I really think I'd probably faint for sure, you know.
Yeah.
Out of fear and happiness all at the same time, you know.
Yeah, just all of the everything. So.
Yeah.
So no, I get you.
It's so, and again, you know, I have a hard time letting people in my life because I don't trust. If I can't trust my own daughters, you know, it's like, how can you trust anybody?
Yeah, no, I mean, I get you. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So unfortunately.
I got the shield, you know, which it sucks. It sucks for me, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to let it down. but I had three best friends through my life, you know, raising my family in the town that we raised them in.
Yeah.
And they've all three passed on.
Goodness, okay.
And they knew me as a mother to these girls. And honestly, those are the three people that could really support me if they were still around. But unfortunately, they passed away before it all happened.
Well, I think, you know, you just touched on something there. I think unless they tell you differently, like the girls would tell you what the heck happened, you know, you got to hold on to the fact that, you know, you were a good mom and you did the best you could. Obviously you weren't perfect. None of us are, you know, maybe you did something, but if they don't tell you, then, you know, you're never going to know. So
how can you try to fix it if you've
you're
sorry or it's not, you know, whatever they're angsting about, you know, what is it? I'll do it, you know? And I think we talked about this in our first phone call is, you know, yell at me, you know, whatever it is. I would love for you to yell at me. I get the emotion, you know, I want some emotion and I want to know what's going on, you know?
I'm sure for them, somehow it would help them, even if you spoke and you were angry with each other and they then decided, okay, nope, I still can't do it. At least you would have maybe some closure and know what you had to do to work on yourself. And then maybe one day they would come back. So, it's tough.
It's like we can sit around and guess all day, you know. I've been doing it for 5.5 years now.
Yep.
And I'm tired. I'm just tired. And you know, I just want to live the rest of my senior years somewhat happy, and I'm trying to get there, but man, is it hard.
It is hard. I say just, you know, focus on, like I said, the fact that you know, until you're told differently, that you were a good mom, you did the best you could, and unfortunately they don't see it that way, but there's not,
you know,
much.
I've had a couple of their friends through the years also tell me, you were a good mom.
Yeah.
I've gone to, like, for instance, the three friends of mine that passed away that I was very close to, their children.
Yeah.
They have reassured me through the years that, yeah, of course you were a good mom, you know.
Yeah.
And my kids aren't in contact with any of those kids either. It's just, it's like they
bizarre.
Just out of our lives and into a whole different realm, you know, a whole different world somewhere else that I don't know about, you know. It's hard.
Yeah.
To lose friends that knew you when, you know.
Right.
And not have the sanity, you know, coming from them telling you, you know, you're not crazy, you know, you did everything right, you know, all that kind
right.
of stuff. They're not here.
So. Well, do you have any final thoughts that we haven't already talked about that you wanted to share with anyone?
I don't think so. We covered a lot.
Cool.
I appreciate you talking to me. I haven't talked out loud to anybody in a long time.
Yeah.
And that was usually a therapist who, you know, was riddling me with these therapy type questions.
Right. Did you really mean this or did you mean this? Yeah.
And what about your, you know, a lot of childhood questions. And it's like, my childhood is so messed up. I can't even remember most of it, you know?
Yeah.
But, and of course, then they start bringing up, well, maybe you don't remember because something bad happened. And, you know,
right.
Who knows? I don't want to go there. I'm trying to fix what's happening now.
Right. I hear you. Well, I, like I said in the beginning, I know that it's not easy. So I appreciate you talking to us about it. Like with you, I'm sure that somebody listening to your story now will have some kind of light bulb or want to, share theirs, and just for your own sake, mm-hmm. being able to put it out there, you know.
It's good to be able to talk about it, and it's especially good to be able to talk about it without getting, I mean, I do hold back my emotion, and you know, but I'm glad I got through this without crying, because
understood,
you know, I've done plenty of that, you know.
Yeah. Well, see, so you've grown, so.
Oh yeah, I would hope so. After all these years, you know, I think if I haven't grown, I wouldn't be around anymore. You know, you have to take what you can, you know, do and try to take care of yourself. And
yeah, and well, that's not, good. That's good attitude. I mean, because
not selfish to take care of yourself, and
not at all.
Yoga, meditation, whatever you need to do. Miles and miles on my bike got me through a lot. Oh, the other thing I did, I boxed for 2 years.
Ooh.
I did heavy bag boxing for 2 years.
Nice.
And, that was in the very beginning, so there was some faces on those boxing bags.
You know, for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.